You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
The big silence ever in my life when I was around the table with my bank account people and said, okay, can I have some more money? They said like, okay, I will. We were able to give you maybe 50 grand more. Said, okay, I will try. Not enough. And I just decide, okay, I will go all in. It says I have like 5 credit cards. I have like around $120,000 limit on all my cards. So I just decide to fill my cards. So I fill my cards at the top. At the end, I was paying my card with my cards. So like I was paying my card because I was just about to bankrupt.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians to talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope you guys have been having a great week. I hope you've been having an excellent February so far. I most certainly have been, because this is Vox and Hops' sober February, where all of the content of this month is focused on having a balanced relationship with alcohol, which is something that I think is very important and something that I would like to spread the word about. So that is exactly why I am doing Sober February for the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Before we jump into today's episode, I would love to ask you guys to subscribe to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice, because I don't want you to miss a single episode. But more than that, you can also take the time to rate it and write a review, because when you do that, more people just like yourself will be able to discover the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, and this small favor is something that I would greatly appreciate. Don't forget, I also just launched the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can sign up to that by going to my website. That is voxandhops.com. That is voxandhops.com. And when you are prompted, join the party, sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. When you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details about the episodes which dropped that previous week. But not only that, you will also get the link to the brand new Brutal Awakenings playlist, which is available on both Apple Music and Spotify, and is curated by my man, Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself. He spends each Friday scouring the internet, trying to find the coolest, heaviest, most extreme, most interesting brand new music for us to enjoy in the Brutal Awakenings playlist. I love Jerry Monk, and he knows what's going on. So if you are looking for something to listen to, something that is new and exciting, trust me, the Brutal Awakenings playlist is exactly what you want to be listening to. So take the time, sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast's mailing list. Trust me, I'm not going to spam you. I know how annoying that is, and that is not what this is about. I just want to make sure that you guys aren't missing a single thing that is going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. On today's episode, I am with two amazing humans who work at a place where I have conducted countless interviews for the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Of course, this was before the pandemic, and you guys know this if you've listened to any of my back catalog. Whenever there was a gig downtown Montreal, I would go and take my friends and walk them over from the venues that they were playing that night, whether it was at the Metropolis, now MTELUS, at Fofun Electric, at Club Soda. We would walk together and go and hang out and share a brew at one of my favorite brew pubs on St. Denis Street, downtown Montreal. Of course, I'm talking about Le Saint-Buck Brasserie Artisanale. So this is it, people. I'm very stoked. Get ready for my chat with Martin Guimond, the owner of Saint-Buck Brasserie Artisanale, and their fantastic head brewer, Philippe Tremblay. This is Vox and Hops episode number 227.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Today, I'm with Philippe Tremblay, the head brewer of Saint-Buck Brasserie Artisanale, and I'm with Martin Guimond, the owner of Saint-Buck Brasserie Artisanale. If any of you have listened to a Vox and Hops episode before, you absolutely know that I love Saint-Buck, and I have done countless interviews there before COVID hit us and the pandemic shut everything down. How are you guys doing? How are you doing today?
Very good. Very good today. Quite busy as since March, I would say, because of COVID, we had to do a million things to survive. You know, trying new business thing, and one of that is producing like non-alcoholic beers and kombucha as well. So.
That's amazing. How about you, Martin? How was this whole horrible year of 2020? It is now behind us, but how did you cope with it?
Yeah, 2020 was really the hardest year of my life. Absolutely. It was, you know, absolutely insane. Like in 24 hours, like in March 15 or 14th or something like that, the world has changed. And first of all, we were just like, wondering like, oh my God, what happened? What happened now and what we will do? So it takes like a few weeks, but while this time we're doing a lot of work here at the brewery, we have like to clean or something like that. So while, because at the first time we were thinking like we'll probably be shut down for maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks, not 4 months. And since that, you know, about the situation has changed. So what we had to do is like to work a lot. Actually, Phil and me were probably working something around like 80 hours a week. And we changed like the business model because we can't do anymore like a brew pub. So it means we have to figure how to work in the real microbrewery industry. So it's a lot of big change, and of course it's not super easy when you have like to manage like two different ways of your business, but that's what happened. And yeah, we're still working, and we are actually really proud about what we did. So
it's amazing. And honestly, for anyone that's at home that doesn't know, Le Saint-Buck is probably one of Montreal's most popular brew pubs in all the time. It's always packed. It doesn't matter if it's the winter, if it's the summer, if the summer there's even just more people there because there's the patio at front, La Terrasse, which is just packed with people. And you guys brew on site, which is right behind you. You're in the brew room right now. The fermenter's behind you, making beers, especially for the brew pub. You guys have a contract brewing to get beers out onto the craft beer scene here, but it's not brewed here and it's completely different. So you guys had to be extremely, extremely creative this year. So talk through some of the things that you have done this year to stay alive, to stay afloat, to keep moving forward with the business of Le Saint-Buck.
First of all, you know, while the COVID happened, we were not allowed to sell alcohol outside like in dinner and grocery stores. So it was like a kind of hard. So we like all the other brew pubs. So we sales our beer directly at the bar. So it helps, you know, a kind of bit, but it's not a lot of sales. So it's pretty hard. It doesn't pay the rent. So while this time we had like an imagination and create something new. So we just decide to, because maybe as some people know, we have our beer in a grocery store in Dépanneur, but it's like, it's not exactly the same. Like if it was, it's the recipe of Saint-Buck and everything is brewed there to Brasseur du Monde, like Saint-Buck would like this beer could be brewed. But because it's not, the beer is not brewed on the purposes here at the Saint-Buck. So it means if us want to sales also beer outside of the pub, even if it's like with or without alcohol, it means it could confuse like people. So it means what happened? You have beer from Saint-Buck who has been brewed to Brasseur du Monde and beer from Saint-Buck who has been brewed to the Saint-Buck. So what the difference? Who I should call to get some? And what happened if something happened? I don't know, maybe if they don't like the beer, but it's kind of super confusing. So that's what we had to do is like to just like found a new name for a new brewery. It calls the Bazard Brewing Company, Bazard Microbrasserie. And it says like Bazaar, but if you look on the side, you will see it says like brewed at the Saint-Bob Brasserie Artisanale. So exactly like the last. So we had to do that. And because we were not able to sell beer with alcohol, so we just decided to take another way. Another way was sometimes the other brewery don't really use. So we decided with Philip, because Philip is the head brewer of the brewery, and he is that one who created this incredible recipe. So we decided to brew like a non-alcoholic North New England IPA. So actually, I think people, they are really like it, and we are really proud of that. And we are actually using that. But since 3 weeks, now we are able to sell beer with alcohol. So it's a new game we have to be in. So
it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. You guys just figured out what the hell you were going to do. And then the world slaps you with something new again.
In somewhere in June, we had that idea to produce like non-alcoholic beer. And we said to us like, oh God, we never touched that kind of thing before. But we might do the best New England IPA, non-alcoholic in the world. So, but we are pretty proud of that new, New England IPA, non-alcoholic. So, yeah.
That's right. That's right. Speaking of the little devil, here it is. I got it in my hand. So it is from Bazaar Brasserie Artisanale, which is brewed at Le Saint-Bac Brasserie Artisanale, which makes me very excited. It is a New England IPA with no alcohol. Philip, tell me all about this. I want that whole conversation of realizing that you're going to have to explore non-alcoholic beer, which is something that you've never done before. How did you play with this? What steps did you take to get to this beer?
First of all, I did a masterclass in a kombucha producer in 2018-2019. And I founded the company, the La Bête Lumineuse, a kombucha company here. But I introduced some that culture into that non-alcoholic project.
That's very creative. Instead of just taking away from what beer is, you've added to it. Because a lot of these non-alcoholic beers that I've been trying and tasting is basically a beer with something missing. So you've added something, you've combined things, which is very interesting.
Sure. It's all about micro-fermentation. To fight against nature, you know, not having 0.5% of alcohol.
Yes.
So, it's very, very hard. Very, I would say unstable, because it's unfiltered. It's unpasteurized, full flavor. So we say always keep it cold. Keep it cold for freshness. Keep it cold for the taste. It's an amazing thing, I think.
Actually, I'm really proud of this beer, because, you know, when you drink sometimes the other non-alcoholic beer, sometimes you don't have the feeling. You know, that feeling was just like, oh my God, I'm satisfied. I drank a beer. I drank something like, oh my God, it's full flavor. Sometimes you have this, it says like, not so bad for a non-alcoholic beer. It's like, not so bad. And it's always like that. But with this one, when you drink it, you have the feeling like, oh my God, I think, of course, I drank a beer. And it's non-alcoholic. So that's why I'm super proud, because you have this feeling.
Let's crack it open. Let's pour it out. Let's see what it's got. Beautiful, nice little body.
Cheers.
Cheers, Sate. It smells fantastic. Oh, yeah. I see what you mean with the chlorination to kombucha. But still, a beery body and the malty finish. Very interesting. Very interesting. So how many steps did you go through to get to this one?
First of all, it was how to do it. There's many ways to do a non-alcoholic beer. I have a friend that works at the Labo Solution Brassicole. They have developed a new kind of non-alcoholic yeast. So I tried the first one that might apply for a New England IPA. And then and then I try a low gravity wort, put a shitload of hop at the end of the boil, and a massive dry hop.
Nice.
Two massive dry hop for this. And yeah, actually, and verifying every hour. is it fermenting? Is it fermenting too much? But it quite, the yeast did quite a good job for that.
Excellent. It's delicious.
I know it was complicated, and we don't realize that in only one shot. We have to do a few. A few to be able to have exactly the same thing you have actually, but yeah.
Excellent. Let's step back and go back in time. I want to hear your brewer stories. Where did you guys start out? Why do you guys brew beer? Let's start with Philip. Why do you brew beer? Why are you now doing all of this creation into non-alcoholic beer?
Yeah. Being a brewer in a brew pub is one of the best jobs you can ever have. When you have plenty space to create things. So a big, big thank you to Martin that let me all the creativity I want. So, and with the experience, I think that we produce very good beers for the pub. And then now, from now on grocery stores and everywhere, you know. So yeah, it's creative, it's beer. Sometimes we're like heroes in parties, like yay, it's a, and we are not saving lives. It's not a stressful job, it's an exciting job, you know. For me, it can't always moving,
yeah,
because it's quite physical job. Water, grain, it weighs something, you know. And well, there's a thing about creativity, it's all the fermentation process. So nature gave us plenty of different kind of microorganisms that transform all the molecules and atom of fruit, cereal juices, whatever, you know. And with time, we domesticated a little bit. And now it's so fun to play with all these kind of strain of yeast and bacteria. So for beer, kombucha, the rest.
It's amazing. I hang out with rock stars all the time, but me being with brewers, you guys are my rock stars, people that I look up to, that I'm excited to be around. So I it's a privilege of mine to be tonight and to taste something so fresh, so juicy. There's a pineapple in this, and you can definitely smell it on the nose and taste it in the body. It's really, really good.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of the Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, man, I gotta hear that. Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.
How about you, Martin? How did you end up owning one of Montreal's coolest brew pubs?
Oh my God, if you go back in time, oh my God, something like 2000, 2004, maybe before that, maybe go back in time more than that. Like in early 2000s, I was only drinking like Budweiser, Molson, something like that, probably even like 1997 and 96. So I had like a roommate. He bring me in a bar in Montreal and he told me, I think I want you to try something. Okay, what do you want me to try? I want you to try like a Kilkenny beer. If you don't like it, I will pay it and drink it.
That's a good deal.
Okay, I'll try. I said, okay, it's not so bad. Okay, I want you to try another one. Okay, what do you want me to try? I want you to try a Buddington. Okay, okay. If you don't drink it, if you don't like it, I will drink it and I will pay it. Like, okay, I will try. So I said, okay, it's not so bad. The last one said, we'll try something different. Like, okay, what? We will try to, I will make you try, we'll make you drink a Guinness. Like, no way, no, I won't drink Guinness. No, it's okay for tonight. I'll take a Bud and we'll be super fine. Next time, okay, if you don't like it, I'll drink it, I'll pay it. Okay, and I said, it was not so bad. So that makes me really curious about beer. It's, yeah, of course, it was like 1996, 1997. And like from this time, I began to discover beer and try to go to Judiciel at this time, and also to Sergent Recruteur, who actually is not open anymore. I enter like in that new world of beer, and I said, oh my God, it's so absolutely amazing. More than that, I had like a job in Quebec City. I was a communication and marketing manager for Quebec City. And I was like a super big lover at this time. So I just decided, of course, to brew my beer by myself at home. And when my contract has finished in 2005, 2006, so I was like, okay, actually my contract is over. I have a few free times. So I will just write down like a business plan and I want to start my own business.
Wow.
My own brew pub. And I did my business plan. It took me like a long time because it's like big like that. And it was really hard like at this time to do a business plan. Actually, it's easy. You have so many breweries, so you have statistics. But in 2006, I won't be able to find any statistics about brew pub in Quebec and breweries even. So I just decided, okay, I will do it. So I asked to my parents if they has money to own me super hard. My father said, okay, I will not give you, because you will have to refund me, but I will just like pass you like something like $28,000 and my mother 27. It was not a lot. So I took like all the money I had in my life and I was like really poor. I just took back my, sorry about that in English, Maria.
Your RRSPs.
Yeah, okay. And I just like take it, all that money back and I decided, okay, I'll do it. I will realize my life, my dream. I found a place. I visited many places. I found a place. And while I was building the Saint Buck, At one time, I didn't have any more money. I was like almost bankrupt. Like, okay, what can I do? The bar is almost finished, maybe 3/4, and I don't have any more money. So it was the big silence ever in my life when I was around the table with my bank account people and said, okay, can I have some more money? They said like, okay, I will. We were able to give you maybe 50 grand more. So, okay, I will try. Not enough. And I just decide, okay, I will go all in. It says I have like 5 credit cards.
Wow.
I have like around $120,000 limit on all my cards. So I just decide to fold my cards. So I fold my cards at the top. At the end, I was paying my card with my cards.
Wow.
Like I was paying my card because I was just about to bankrupt. And while this time, someone knocked at the door. It says, "Hello, my name is Philip. Can I come to the bar and help you to build your business?" "Yes, of course, I think I will need help." So that's the first time I met Philip.
Really?
That was 14 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Philip, he just introduced himself like that. So he went to the bar and we met together and he helped me to paint the wall and to fix and to build. And yep. And after that, two other things happened. I was not able to open, even if I was ready. So I was not able to get my my alcoholic permit, my license. And I don't know why what happened. It was always something was missing. They lost something. Something has not arrived. And it was, you know, 6 months to get an alcoholic permit. It's the license. It's worse. It's too long. So I just decided to call the Journal de Montréal. So I had an article. And no, the day after, I had my permit. So, yes. So that's why. And St. Buck, we opened the St. Buck October 13th, 2006. The 13th brewery in the Montreal area.
Wow.
And while I was just open and I got a call from Quebec City and they said, "Martin, you remember me? I'm the communication manager from Quebec City." "Yes, yes, of course, of course. I have the job of your dream." "Okay, what? You will be the first, I don't know the word in English, but the first civil."
"A civil."
"Civil, yeah, the worst civil. You will be the communication and marketing manager of the police department of Quebec City." Like,
really?
"Okay, I will give you like a big salary. I want you to think it today. I want an answer tomorrow, and I want you in Quebec City next Saturday. We will pay your move." Like, okay, what I can do? Actually, I have a bar. You know, 2006, it was super quiet in the beer industry. And at this time, the brewer here, it was Dominique Charbonneau from Brassard du Monde, actually. We just talked together and says, "What can I do? Maybe I should go to Quebec and take the job and take my salary to pay the bar because it's super quiet. It will be super hard." And I just decided, okay, no. If I'm leaving the boat, I won't be anymore the captain inside. So I have to be here to manage my place. If I want the bar, go in the way I want the bar go. So I've refused the job since this time. I think it was like the better thing. But in my mind, I've always this thing, like it was like a junction like in my life. So I would like to see me like in the other way. What could happen? But I choose the way of beer because I love beer. I'm talking about beer like every day. I love the beer industry. It's a funny industry. People love that. And you know, it's always super nice. I'm a beer lover and it's my passion.
Wow, what an incredible story. All in for your passion and love. Anyone listening at home, do like Martin, go all in, but succeed like Martin did as well. And I also think it's super interesting that Philip was there for you when you needed him the most at the beginning, someone to believe in you and to help you. And look, you know, you guys went apart for a moment and then you guys came right back together right when you needed to be together the most again to tackle a pandemic.
And we both love our job. It's nice, you know, love what you do and you won't work anymore.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Maybe I can tell you a little about the genesis of a brewer for myself. I was a home brewer like every brewer in this craft beer industry. I finished my studies in geography at LUCAM. I was a cartographer.
Yeah, a cartographer, yeah.
Cartographer. And then after a year and a half, there were not enough money. So I was unemployed and I decided like, okay, I'm going to Belgium to learn the art of brewing beer professionally.
Wow.
So I did that. I've been in Belgium. I brewed beer with a little stage in Brussels. And then I met a lot of people, had a girlfriend there about a year. And then I came back here in Montreal and I had two ways, the geographer or the brewer. So, so I worked for Les Brasseurs du Nord for a year, and it was a magnificent school. But at that time, it wasn't. It was a big industry, and there was not no place for creativity, you know. And then in those days, I worked for Benelux. But in between, I gave a hand to Martin to start the Steinbock. So after 8 years at Benelux, I worked a year in construction. And then after that, a couple of years for Opfenstark, station host.
It's amazing. I want to talk about 2021, where you think this crazy year is going to take us beer-wise. Let's just focus on the beer. What is going to be the next big thing in beer? What are you guys going to focus on? Now you guys are allowed to sell alcoholized beers to depaneurs, to craft beer stores. What are you guys going to be focusing on? What do you think is going to be the most interesting things in 2021 beer-wise?
Like I said, like it's a new game for Brewpub. I don't know how many brewpubs we are in province of Quebec. I just know about breweries, but we are on all in the same same boat. But that laws was changed like a few weeks ago. It says like actually you will have, I don't know, maybe 20, 20 30, maybe 40 new players in the game in the
Absolutely.
And no more shelves.
Mm-hmm.
So it means you have to brew something really nice, really different if you want to be like on the shelves of the depaneur, because it's hard, you know. Actually, we called some places like, oh, do you want or IPA? No, actually I have 40 IPA. Oh, you want like or New England IPA, the regular one? Like I have like 60 New England IPA. So it means why yours? It means we will have like to be different. And for that's why actually we are in the non-alcoholic game. Beer, non-alcoholic beer game. I think it's a kind of beer who has not been totally explored again. And actually, we're both working on different many IDs. Just before the interview tonight, we were still like trying to test new flavors of things or write down new IDs about beer. So for us, it's something really interesting, really different. Like I said, it's a new game. I think for me, and I don't know for you, Philip, but maybe next summer, something like, you know, like since like 2-3 years, like session beer are quite popular. But I think we could do like session beer, but it'll be like lower in alcohol, between maybe 2-3% alcohol. I think it could be something nice for next summer. Many people actually are loving, they are loving session beer. Why? Because you can drink 5 and take your car. But yeah. One, you can drink 8. Lower. And you have all the flavors in everything, like something you are looking in a beer. It could be something interesting.
Very interesting, and I agree with you. I do think that sessions are definitely going to be a huge thing in 2021. Hey, toi, Philip, and you, Philip, what do you think?
I would say I feel a little like exhausted for now, and it's very kind of day-to-day thing, you know? Things are changing so fast. From week to week, it's another story. It's crazy, and I am exhausted. But the passion for aroma and the transformation by fermentation, someday it's like this idea, the other day it's like another idea. But if we're looking back a few months, we created a lot of new beers, kombucha, and it's all great stuff, you know. So yeah, I think that in this summer, like Nano IPA, Nano New England IPA, something like that, and looking for Berliner Weisse, yeah, sure, maybe Imperial Stout or triple IPA that kicked ass. We are, I feel exhausted, but excited too. So I know that it's just a period. So the best is in front of us. And it's really excited. It's not exhausted like we will stop. It's exhausted, but we are proud of ourselves because we survived till now. And there's a lot of very big things coming up. I think that there will be a lot of new creative stuff. Actually, it reminds me that we did a beer bucha.
I was just about to ask. Yeah.
Yeah. it's kind of a blend of a fruity beer with a specific blend of bacteria and yeast culture. Very, very acidic, very sour, perfectly blend together. That gave La Fléau the assemblage number one at the Saint-Bock. So I'm quite proud of that beer. So it's kind of new.
Awesome. I can't wait to try that.
Yeah, beer bucha is really amazing, actually. It's kind of really fruity. But of course, you know, province of Quebec is I think it's one of the best places in the world to drink beer. It's crazy. We have so many amazing brewers here who have a lot of imagination. Just imagine 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you never had that so many different kinds of beer. Just you have actually the smoothie beer, you have all the milkshake beers and everything like that. It's crazy, it's new, and you have to take a risk for that. You know, it's hard to be the first sometimes to brew something and you'll wait for the critics. If it's good, you're cool. If it's not, you're bad. So, you know, we are taking risks. The beer bucha actually we brewed here at Saint-Bock with Philippe is pretty amazing.
I think that's very cool, and I think that's going to be something that is going to catch on, because I think you're the first person I've heard say that. So it's Vox and Hops, so we have to talk about metal. Have you guys, or do you listen to metal? And if you have, what bands do you love?
Go ahead, Martin.
Oh my God! Okay, we're talking about heavy metal. You know, I love heavy metal, and I have never heard that much heavy metal since I'm working with Philip every day. So we're actually listening something like not something really bad, just like 8-12 hours a day of heavy metal. Something nice.
Good job, Philip.
And actually, I was loving heavy metal, but since that, I'm that one who says, "Oh yeah, Philip, you know, did you remember this song? Can you play it? Oh yeah, it's this one. Yeah, go. Oh God.
Yeah,
I love it. So,
it's called Death with Andy LaRocque, you know.
Love it.
yeah, me too.
I think I have something like 10 playlists of heavy metal since Philip.
Excellent.
Can you put heavy metal?
The genesis of a headbanger.
Yes, please.
A headbanger's journey. Well, my first cassette was a Top Gun soundtrack. Yes. And after that, I bought like Appetite for Destruction from Guns N' Roses. And Def Leppard, Hysteria. And I put the hand of Live After Death, Iron Maiden. Since that day, I destroyed my Guns N' Roses stuff. So vulgar and superficial. Fuck them. Sorry about that, but Iron Maiden's my awesome band, you know. Not. And then Sabbath, and then Cradle of Filth, Dark Tranquility, Opeth, Cryptopsy, and there was a bunch of pretty good metal band, Augury.
Yes.
All the Rimouski scene and those guys, Mongrain with Martyr.
Yes, yes.
Voivod now. So yeah, it's metal is life. It gives us some self-confidence. Yeah, it gives us some power. Time is always on my side, you know?
I love it. I love it. One last question. It probably never happens to you guys because you guys are very, very busy working many, many hours for the past many weeks. But every once in a while it happens to everyone, but not when you're drinking this. What is your hangover cure?
Martin? You're from, I have some habits, so it means I can drink a lot. So without to be rich, even more if it's that. I don't have a lot of hangover, but when I have some, what I do sometimes is like you take maybe 2 or 3 big water glasses before to go to sleep, 2 Advil. Really important, the Advil, please. And you go to sleep, and after that you wake up yourself sometime.
Like in Boston?
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. You're not too bad, so it means you have to take 2 more water glasses of water and 2 more Advil. After that, normally you're okay, and you can go for more.
New Philip.
Yeah, me, I'm not into like pills or something, but I am not against that. But it's not my habit now. The best thing is for me, I always ride a bike. Come working, so it's a good way to breathe, to do something good with the body, and eliminate some undesired things. You know, like bad alcohol from. Bad things from too much alcohol the day before. I would say sports and fresh air.
Excellent. Sweat it out.
Yeah.
The good thing is I don't do that anymore. Not a lot, because, you know, when I was younger, it was more like that. But actually, I'm still young, but I do more of myself.
Which is wise. Martin, Philip, thank you so much for taking the time, having a chat with me, talking about your life, talking about metal, talking about craft beer. Tell everyone where they can get these right now.
Oh, my God. Actually, you will be able to find it probably almost like everywhere in all beers, specialized beer store.
Excellent.
Because actually, we just like... Send tons of cases of this beer.
Excellent. That makes me very happy. Thank you guys so much. I really, really appreciate it. Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. How cool is that? How cool is their tenacity, their creativity to totally change their business plan during a pandemic in order to survive, to keep it fresh, to keep people interested? It is crazy. I'm super proud. And I have to say that this wow non-alcoholic New England IPA is honestly one of the best non-alcoholic New Englands that I have ever drank. And I've been trying a lot of them recently because it is Sober February for me. And I do still enjoy drinking beer. So I am drinking a bunch of non-alcoholic beer. And honestly, the wow from Le Bazar, also known as Le Saint-Buck, is phenomenal, delicious. It feels like a beer, and that is extremely satisfying without any of the alcohol-related consequences. So massive cheers to Martin and Philippe. I am a huge fan, and I am super stoked to see where exactly you take us on this next non-alcoholic craft beer adventure. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should subscribe to it on the podcast platform your choice. But not only that, please take the time to rate it and write a review, because when you do that, more people just like yourself will be able to discover the Vox and Hops podcast. And it is with your help that this podcast has grown so much, and I truly appreciate that. But by you doing this one extra thing, even more people will be able to find it and hopefully love it as much as you and I do. Also, don't forget, sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast's mailing list, which is available on my website, voxandhops.com. That is voxandhops.com. When you do that, you will get one email a week with all of the details of everything that has happened that week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, whether I have been a guest on another person's podcast, all of the details of the episodes which I have dropped that week. If there is a Thirsty Thursday live interview coming up, the link for that will be available in that email, and there will be the links to the updated Brutal Awakenings playlist curated by the metal architect Jerry Monk himself. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I will be back next week with three episodes, one dropping on Tuesday, another on Thursday, which is the live Thirsty Thursday interview, which I did with Keith Wampler, as well as one on Friday. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Please, until next week, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series.
About how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app
and subscribe now.